Today we're speaking with Roscoe Smith, owner of Knuckle Sandwiches in Mesa. In 2019, the idea for Knuckle Sandwiches was born out of the need for a better sandwich shop, better meats, and more of it. Meet the business owner. This is Roscoe Smith. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
I'm very excited
to be here.
Those reviews were crazy. I had a hard time choosing just a couple to highlight. I think you have like a 4.8 out of 5 stars on both Google and Yelp. That's pretty incredible.
Thank you. Thank you. We really, we put ourselves a lot into what we're doing, and we do it differently than just your average run-of-the-mill sandwich shop.
I am pleased to welcome a very great partner of Visit Mesa. And I first want to just start with a couple of the reviews that I found. This one cracked me up and I loved it because it's like so sincere. Last time I took on the Reuben, like it's some sport, and won the heavyweight championship in a 3-round knockout. Today I came back in to defend my title as a worthy opponent, the Cuban. This knockout-sized sandwich, it consists of marinated roast pork, smoky pit ham, bread and butter pickles, Swiss cheese, and a special, is it mojo sauce?
Mojo sauce.
I have to find out what's in mojo sauce here in a minute. The sandwich is pressed grilled on a Cuban roll. He goes on to basically say that he had a knockout fight with the sandwich and, you know, not a chain, not your everyday sandwich shop. And not one single reason why you shouldn't come check this place out and have a killer sandwich was how he finished this up. I loved this review. Another one, Ryan gave it 5 stars. Awesome. The Reuben was spot on and the chopped salad was incredible. The two of them together will change your life. Wow, that is something to be said for. Sorry that the salad is half eaten. It looks so good, but I started eating it and totally forgot to take a picture before I ravaged it. And I loved the picture of a half eaten salad. I love that. So I have to ask you, what is your favorite menu item?
Me personally, I think if I had to pick one, it would be our meatball sub. There's a lot of love that goes into it. We make our own marinara, make our own meatballs. And I'm a Chicago guy. I'm from Chicago. So that's kind of embodies, you know, Chicago.
So could I even replicate that at home? Probably not. It doesn't sound like I could.
Well, sure. You know, make a few meatballs and make some marinara and there you go.
I think it would be better if you did it. All I remember is my mother always saying it only tastes good because someone else made it, right? So I don't know. I think that that's true.
I can believe that.
Sandwich is always better when someone else makes it.
I can believe that.
So is Knuckle Sandwich a franchise or your own thing?
It's my own creation.
Wow. And how did you come up with the name? I'm curious.
Honestly, I wish I had a better story, but a friend of mine and I were sitting in a sushi restaurant and I was making plans to open this place up and thinking, what am I going to name it? And all this noise is going on around me. There's TVs on and everything. And out of all that noise, I heard something on one of those TVs say Knuckles. And it hit. It was like Knuckle Sandwiches. Why hasn't anybody thought of that?
It's like divine intervention, if you ask me.
Exactly.
Now, have you in real life ever had a Knuckle Sandwich?
I'm sure we've all had a few, at least one. I got threatened with them a lot.
Okay, yeah, for sure. So I see that you brought a little show and tell. I'm curious, what did you bring?
It's interesting that, you know, you pull those reviews out because that's exactly what I brought. I brought a corned beef Reuben and I brought a Cuban sandwich.
Wow, and you know, and honestly, I did not tell him about these reviews that I picked these two.
Had no idea, it was complete coincidence.
Well, there were so many. So, I mean, these are hot ticket items.
Mojo sauce. What we do is we take citrus juices, like orange juice, lemon juice, lime juice, and we cook it and reduce it down to like a syrup. And then we mix it with cumin, chili powder, mayonnaise, and kind of make an aioli out of it.
Now, you know, I'm gonna have to taste this because, okay, first of all, I haven't had bread in 2 years, but I am seriously gonna take a bite for, you know, because this is worth the pain I'm gonna feel later. I have to taste this.
Please do.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So we do
5 stars right away.
We do marinate our own pork roast. We take pork butt, we marinate it in citrus juices and oregano, and marinate it for a few days, and then we roast it, pit ham, mustard or mojo sauce, Swiss cheese. Believe it or not, this didn't start out on the menu when we first opened. I was watching that movie Chef, where they made the Cuban truck. And I was like, I could do that. And it's really one of our, everyone that has it loves it. I think it's a, I've had a lot of people say it's the best Cuban you're going to get in this side of Miami.
I mean, I'm not a Cuban connoisseur, but I think I might become one. But that was delish. I know it's kind of rude to talk with your mouth full, but I'm sorry, guys. That's just the way it's going to be right now because it's really good. Okay, and then we'll look at the next one in a minute here. I want to spread the love out. This is too much. I love it. So tell me about your career path. How did you get to where you are right now?
Well, so I went to college. I studied restaurant and hospitality administration. Got a culinary degree in college as well. I went to Missouri State. Graduated from there. Got into the restaurant business, managing restaurants and different, worked for different chains, worked for independents. And I think probably out of all of that, what helped me the most get to this point, I worked for an independent in Missouri that started out with a steakhouse. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It was a franchise called the Ground Round. You may be familiar with it. It was out on the East Coast a lot and in the Midwest. Started with a franchise of that, opened up a catering facility, opened up an Italian restaurant, an independent Italian restaurant. And out of all of this, they trusted me to create these things. They trusted me when it went to the catering facility to create the whole thing, design it, set it up, make the menus that we would sell for the events. Same thing with the Italian restaurant. I wrote the entire menu, I spec'd the entire restaurant, put all the equipment in it, made the wine list, all of it. So I think out of everything that I did, that prepared me for this moment the most. It was really cool as I got to play with somebody else's money and kind of figure out, you know, what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, a lot of learning. Hands-on learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that was a really cool experience. That lasted for about 6 years. And so, like I said, just worked for a lot of different restaurant companies, big companies, small companies. So I was at the point of looking for something to open myself, and I had really had, it's funny because I really had thought I didn't want to own a restaurant because I'd worked in so many restaurants, saw people, you know, the problems they had, the struggles, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, why do I want to do this?
It's a lot of work.
It's like, no, I never want to do this. But a friend of mine that I knew from Missouri had moved out here a few years prior and called me up and said, hey, I know of a franchise that's for sale. It's pretty cheap. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. He's like, hey, fly out here, take a look at it. If you like it, great. If you don't, we'll just have fun for the weekend. So never had been to Arizona before. It's like, why do I want to go to Arizona? It's always hot out there. You know, you hear the stories or whatever. Came out here and actually loved it. I was like, why wouldn't I want to come to this place? I like it here.
Yes, don't tell anybody. We don't need any more people. I'm kidding. Everybody needs to come to Arizona.
Came out here and I bought a franchise, Schlotsky's.
Okay.
Ran the franchise for 5 years, and then that's where this was really born at, because during that time I felt like I had a lot more creativity that I could offer. I felt like I had a lot more, just a lot more I could offer. I felt like I could do it better. So once my franchise contract was up, started Knuckle Sandwiches.
Wow. And that was in 2019?
That was in 2019, yep.
Okay. So what landed you in Mesa? Was it just because of that's where the franchise was?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So you've come to become a part of the fabric of our community. So what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you?
That means a lot, because that was kind of the intent. You know, I wanted to be more than just a restaurant. I wanted to, you know, that community, people really got to know me. I really got to know them. And we were, you know, it's about making relationships. And I think that's an integral part of hospitality, not just come in, give me your money, I'll give you some food, and then you go. You know, no, I want to know people. I want to get to know them. I want to, you know, people to know that, you know, this is a safe place, and, you know, anybody can come here. Anybody's going to be accepted, regardless of who you believe in or who you love or whatever. So that was important to me.
I love that, and that came through very loud and clear when I was looking through all the reviews. It wasn't just about the delicious food, but it was really a lot of comments about the excellent service and how welcomed people felt when they came in, and that really stood out to me. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I love that. As part of somebody who oversees all of our DEI efforts, and in particular, I love how inclusive you are.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, as a Black-owned business, mm-hmm. how do you support or inspire future minority business owners?
Well, I've done a few things with, you know, I'm kind of sandwiched in between two high schools, between Red Mountain and Mountain View. So I've done a lot of things with Red Mountain. They've got a lot of minority groups, et cetera, future business leaders, things like that. So I go and talk with them. And I think one of the biggest things that I try to do is, even within my own four walls, I try to empower all of my employees to be able to make decisions and be able to do things so that they can understand business, because that helps them to buy in to what we're doing. But it also gives them a foundation for if they plan on, or maybe inspire them to maybe plan on doing something on their own in the future. So it doesn't matter how young they are, if they're high school age or if they're middle age or, you know, young adults or whatever. I don't mind explaining to people the business of this and why we do some of the things we do, how we arrive at the prices on our menu, why some days people have to be sent home early and some days they have to work later, you know, those kind of things. So they understand the business of it.
Yeah, and so what do you think some of the challenges or misconceptions that there might be that come along with being a minority-owned business?
I don't know that there's any really misconceptions or that people have with being a minority-owned business. I think the misconceptions come with just being a business owner, period. I think a lot of people think that, you know, you get in a business and automatically you make all this money and you've got tons of money you're sitting on. I go home and sit on the couch made of money, and you know, and it's just not that way. In particular in the restaurant business, you know, it's thin profit margins. It's a penny business. Everything that we sell, you know, is maybe 10 to 15 cents profit that you make on it. So volume is really key. And I think once people in general kind of understand that, then they'll understand how important it is to support small businesses and in any business, not just restaurants, but in any business.
Yeah, and particularly restaurants. I think I heard some crazy stat, and don't quote me, but something like 97% of new restaurants fail in the first year.
93%.
93. Yep. So yeah, I mean, that's a lot. So just the fact that you're going strong and you're number four now, right? Like mm-hmm. that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Definitely. I have to say, definitely, you know, more than just my power, is somebody up above looking over me. Definitely.
So what is your dream for the future of Knuckle Sandwiches?
So I would like to open a few more of these. I guess my 10-year plan is to have a few of these open and then be able to relax a little bit. Finally, be able to relax a little bit and enjoy the fruits of my labor, I guess you could call it. But that's kind of it. I mean, I'd like to put some of these, maybe about four, five at the most.
In Mesa. Yes, one right here in downtown Mesa. I'm just asking for a friend.
That's okay. Fair enough.
A friend that really likes your chicken salad sandwiches.
That's a good friend.
I know, he's wonderful. So as you know, Visit Mesa brings visitors from local cities and out of town to our city, such as sports teams. We just talked about that before we started our podcast. We bring in all kinds of sports teams, and we feed them knuckle sandwiches pretty mm-hmm. often. What does tourism mean to you and your business?
It's everything. especially, you know, how seasonal it is here in Arizona. So it means everything to get the support from tourism. You know, the winter season obviously is a lot better for everyone here than the summer season, whereas it's exactly the opposite everywhere else. But nobody really comes to Arizona in the summer because they think that they're going to burst into flames.
Which we're changing. We have lots of indoor sports now. So
there
bringing
we go.
People, so that's exciting. Lots
absolutely.
Of basketball tournaments, volleyball, indoor volleyball, and things mm-hmm. like that at Belbank Park, which isn't too far. Like, we can make that happen. I think if we can get a knuckle sandwiches out that way.
I'm actually kind of looking at that. That's right. Actually kind of where I was going.
We know
the
people.
Next one.
Oh, we know
really?
People. We'll get you in
oh,
there.
Oh,
well,
we
right.
can, might I be able that. To work this out then.
So let's switch gears here a little bit. So we're coming up on the holidays. Mm-hmm. And one thing I associate with the holidays besides good wine is good leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me what to do with my leftovers. Like, if I'm having a big turkey dinner, tell mm-hmm. me what to do with it.
Well, let's see. There are several different things you can do with it. So you can make soups like we do at Knuckle Sandwiches. We make all of our soups from scratch. A lot of our sandwiches on our menu are based on that idea of making sandwiches like the day after Thanksgiving. So typically, day after Thanksgiving, you got turkey, you got ham, possibly roast beef or something along those lines. The easiest thing to do is, you know, go in there and just kind of make a stacker, you know,
a stacker. Okay.
So you might put some turkey on it, might put some ham on it, maybe some tomatoes, some pickles, might even put some stuffing on it. Maybe pour some gravy over the top of it. You know, I mean, you got some cranberry sauce you can put on it.
Don't you have one of the menu items is like a Thanksgiving sandwich,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yep. It's our turkey cranberry. And that's what we do. We put stuffing, cranberry sauce, turkey, lettuce to give it a little crunch, and turkey gravy.
Ooh, and I mean, you make your turkey right there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh. We make all of our meats in-house.
So, honestly, you could come there and, I don't know, like, I think the best Thanksgiving ever would be just to grab 8 Thanksgiving or those turkey sandwiches and serve that for Thanksgiving. I think that's the way to go and open up a bottle of wine and done.
Sounds like a deal.
I like that.
We can do that.
All right, so you did bring one other show and tell sandwich, you said. So
yes.
Let's take a peek at that.
So this one is kind of a classic. Most everyone loves a good Reuben. So this is our corned beef Reuben. We do make our corned beef in-house every day. As I said, I am from Chicago, so we shred our corned beef. If you go out on the East Coast, they say, nope, you gotta shave it real thin and cut it against the grain. We shred it. So we cook it until it's tender, and then we shred it by hand and pull all the fat out of it.
This looks amazing. Like, just looking at this makes my mouth water. I bet this is probably, what, is this probably your number one selling item? Number two? What do you think?
Number two, yeah.
Mm. Oh, God. Good. Oh, no.
So we take real brisket, we brine it for 7 days, and then we cook it with pickling spice and mustard seeds, peppercorns, cloves, until it's falling apart. It takes about 4 hours to cook.
It just fell apart in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was delicious.
Very tender.
And I think you might need to change your name to Reuben. Have you thought about that? Oh, wow. This is so good. Okay. Well, is there anything else that I didn't ask you that you wanted to talk about today?
No, I think we kind of covered everything. I mean, just, you know, once again, I'll say, you know, I think you touched on a lot of good parts of, you know, this landscape that we're in, this economic landscape we're in. And it's so integral to support your local small businesses. You know, we're taking care of our families too. We just had the heart or whatever, or the inspiration to step out on a limb and do it instead of going a traditional route.
I agree. Anytime that we have the discretionary money to be privileged enough to go out to eat, we should always choose a local business. It makes all the difference. I can agree with you and understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about it before. A long time ago, I owned a coffee shop, and there mm-hmm. was Starbucks down the street. And people mm-hmm. have the choice to either come to my local coffee shop that they may not know about yet, but the service was always above and beyond because mm-hmm. we wanted their business. It meant a lot to us. And I can tell the way that you speak about it that you feel the same way, that it means a lot to you.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that I constantly talk about with our staff. On the corner of Higley and Brown where we're at, there's seven different places that people can go to eat. So what's going to, besides the food, what's going to make them come to us? It's how we treat them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we should end with that because it is. It's all about how you treat the people and being a part of the fabric of our community. And we thank you for that. And thank you for representing Mesa so
thank
well.
You.
And we look forward to many more sandwiches. I think I might have to go back to bread after that. Thank you.
Thank you. And happy holidays.
You too.